Grace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith and nurtures that faith through word and sacrament. May you be blessed in the hearing of God's word today. The text for the message today are the closing verses of the epistle lesson. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And in the closing verse, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, whether insults, hardships, persecutions, or difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, if you looked ahead in the bulletin to the time of prayers and things to be praying for that your pastor listed in the bulletin, you will have read that this is a difficult time for my wife and me. I thought I could talk about this better than this. I've been a pastor for over 40 years. I've never experienced the kind of weakness that I have for the past 3 weeks. I've been a pastor for over 40 years, and I can't say that anything so terrible has happened in our family and to us as a couple in our almost now 49 years of marriage. It'll be 49 in August. Nothing so terrible has happened that I was challenged by this, by Satan, by the evil one in my faith. But with the death of our 47-year-old daughter 3 weeks ago last night, she had been with us nearly 40, only 2 months shy of 48 years of our 49 years. She was born the week before our first anniversary when we were students at Concordia in Seward. She was single all of her life, and so Kim was very close to us as her parents for all of those years. We've always lived in the same community together, and until the 9 years that I worked at Lutheran Home Society, went to the same church together. She was a dear soul in terms of living her faith. And so on the one hand, today I'm rejoicing. Rejoicing because on that Saturday night 3 weeks ago, Kim wasn't feeling well. She virtually was only sick for about 15 minutes of her life. But because of some blood clots that got in her lungs and went through her heart, and none of us knew those were there, in a matter of moments, Jesus said, Kim, I'm ready for you to come home. And she looked up into the eyes of her mother, and I was there next to her, and she said, Mom, Jesus wants me to come home. I'm going to die. We both said, no, you're not. And Carolyn even slapped her in the face and said, no, you're not, Kim. But God had other ideas. And God took her to be home with him in heaven. As a result of that, this morning, this scripture meant so much to me, and I felt I needed to tell you the why of that, that perhaps it will mean more to you as well. As a pastor, I buried a lot of people. I tried to understand and feel and sense the grief of their loved ones. But I never knew grief could be like this. I never knew my faith would be tested so greatly. In the last 3 weeks, for many times, especially in the quietness of the night when I can't sleep, Satan comes and says, you know, there really is no heaven. That's just kind of like fairy tale stuff that some of you people believe. Satan comes and says, you know, your daughter Kim is not in heaven with Jesus. They were only kidding about that. And so as I read the lessons today, and Ezekiel being told, at times when our faith is weak, we need to repent and we need a prophet to tell us so. St. Paul saying, there are times when I am weak because of insults and hardships, but sometimes just because of the difficulties I face. Can you identify? We are weak, and in that weakness need the grace of God. For the grace of God makes us strong. And the grace of God is His love that we don't deserve. The grace of God that He speaks about here when He says, when God says to Him, my grace is sufficient for you, that grace is the good news that is sufficient for us, that we need when we face grief and when we face the face of death and when our last hour comes as well. And there's some good news that God reminded me of again and again over the last 3 weeks. And that is a passage from Colossians 1, verse 15 through 17. That's part of my message today. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created by Him and for Him. I realize more clearly now that this loving daughter, Kim, was not ours. She was created by Him and for Him. That's why we rejoice that she is with Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And as I talk with you this morning just a little bit about the Father's fingerprint in our lives, remember, in Jesus all things hold together. One day there was a group of scientists who got together, and not surprisingly, they decided that man had come so far away and had come a long way in our knowledge about the earth and everything in it, including human beings, that they decided they didn't need God anymore. So one of them picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with Him. The scientist walked up to God and he said, God, we've decided that we no longer need You. We're to the point that we can clone people and we can do many miraculous things in utero. So we'll get along just fine without You. Why don't You go and get lost? We don't even want to hear Your word anymore. Well, God listened very patiently to the kindly to the man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, well, very well. How about this? Let's say that we have a man-making contest to decide whether it's going to be me in charge or you in charge. And the scientist replied, okay, that's fine. So God added, now, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. And the scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and picked up a big handful of dirt from the ground. And God looked at him and said, no, no, no. You go get your own dirt. Go get your own dirt. Even the dirt of the ground, of course, was created by God. Because in the beginning, as Genesis tells us, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was created by God. And there was nothing that was created that didn't come from Him. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God created man out of the dust of the ground, which He had also created. He formed the man, and as a personalized and unique creation, different from all the rest of the animals that He had just finished creating. And when the body of the man was finished, God breathed into him the breath of life. It said God breathed His breath, or the Hebrew word ruach there means spirit as well. God breathed His breath, breathed His spirit into man, and man became a living soul. And as I've been reflecting these past few weeks, that's who we are. Body, soul, and spirit. Isn't it interesting that we're sort of a trinity? Body, soul, and spirit. The human body is an amazing creation. Dr. Richard Swenson, a Christian doctor in Wisconsin, has written several books that I have read, and in one of them, he talks about the amazingness of the creation that we are in this body. The human brain, he says, produces more electrical impulses in one day than all the telephones in the world combined. Yet it operates on the same amount of power as a 10-watt light bulb. He says the human brain can hold 5 times as much information as the Encyclopedia Britannica. That should come as good news to those of you who are children still in school. You have plenty of room to learn. He says that the storage capacity of the brain is thought to be 1,000 terabytes. Now, I don't know what a terabyte is, but he puts that into this kind of a perspective. The National Archives of Britain, of the British Isles, contains over 900 years of history, and it only takes about 70 terabytes to hold all that information. And our brains can hold up to 1,000 terabytes. The human body is estimated to have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. To put that into perspective, the distance around the earth is about 25,000 miles, making the distance your blood vessels could travel if laid end to end more than 2.5 times around the earth at the equator. Another marvel about our bodies is this thing that scientists have discovered in recent years called DNA. DNA is a marvelous part of the creation of how God created us. If we were to take all the DNA out of a single cell and stretch it out, it would be over 5 feet long. This same DNA, remember it's microscopic, you can only see it under a microscope, this same DNA is so thin that it is only 50 trillionths of an inch wide, which my mind can't even understand. A strand of DNA stretched to the sun would weigh only 1/5 of an ounce. And if you took all the DNA from all the cells in your body and squeezed it together, it would fit inside of an ice cube. And yet it determines everything there is that's unique about you. If you were to take this same DNA from all the cells and stretch it out end to end, it would be between 10 billion and 170 billion miles long. And these are but a few facts of the miracle of the human body which God created for each of us. It didn't come about as a matter of chance over millions and millions of years, but a very spectacular and intentional creation of our Almighty Creator. That same God who created the stars and put them in place in unfathomable realms of the universe also created this human body which each of us have. Each system of the body is complex. It's a complex design that could have only been done by a divine architect with an understanding far beyond our human ability. But there's one more thing that you need to know about the creation of man. You see, God didn't just create man to inhabit the earth. God created man to inhabit eternity with Him. Heaven, you see, is our home. We are but sojourners, tourists, if you will, on the earth. God created us in His image, the Scripture tells us. Genesis 1 and 2 tell the story. Not an image of physical appearance that we literally look like God, because you must remember, God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body and doesn't look like anything that we would see with our eyes. The image of God within us is a reflection of His perfection. Adam and Eve were created holy, holy and set apart from all the rest of creation. They were created holy specifically for God's purposes. They were created to be like Him and to serve Him in their perfection. When He made us, as I said earlier, He made us to be a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And it's interesting that as we function in this body and in this soul and with a spirit that is one with God through baptism, through the washing of baptism and faith, that within our soul there are things that are always happening as long as we're alive on the earth. For within our soul is sort of a trinity. Our soul is our mind, our ability to think, our emotions, our ability to feel, and our will, our ability to make decisions about things. That's my soul at work in my life day to day, so that I can function in these relationships in which God put me as husband and father and pastor and friend. Each of you have relationships in which you can function with your mind and your feelings, your emotions, and your will to be a blessing to others as God has first blessed you. So that's why it's important for us to see how this next piece is so awesome. Not too long ago, I heard a pastor talk about an unexpected conversation that he had with a molecular biologist, a member of his congregation. The molecular biologist explained to him that there were protein molecules that are held together by a cell adhesion molecule that holds proteins together. He explained that it's sort of like rebar that's in concrete, the reinforcing steel that holds all the concrete together once it dries. Or perhaps it's like the mortar that's between bricks and holds the wall up. Something that holds individual protein molecules together. These cell adhesion molecules hold one cell of our bodies next to the other cell so that we don't literally fall apart. This is what holds us together. It's a protein called laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Laminin. I want you to see what the structure of laminin looks like. You see, the very structure of laminin reveals the miracle of God's handiwork, something which I've called the fingerprint of the Father in your life. The first time I saw it, it hit me right between the eyes that God has put our very creation, into our very creation, His divine fingerprint. And most of us don't even know it. I should show you this thing called laminin, shouldn't I? You're wondering, what in the world is he talking about? This is not a Christian portrayal of it. You can Google laminin on your computer, and the medical literature will show you this picture that I've printed off from my computer. This is what laminin looks like. It's not a very big picture for such a large church. So last night, I printed off about 250 little ones, and I hope you got one as you came through the door this morning. That's one molecule under a microscope of laminin. Laminin, which is the glue, the cement, that holds all of the cells of our bodies together. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's even awesome to me. Now consider the words of Colossians 1:15-17. Jesus is the image of God. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Long, long before we knew anything about laminin, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, revealed that it's Jesus who holds all things together. Very literally, our Creator has left His fingerprint on the glue that holds our cells, our very being, together. Before God created Adam, He knew the design. His handcrafted man and woman would carry the fingerprint of the Son of God, who alone would be our Savior. God created Adam and Eve and all humankind for His purpose, to give glory to the Creator and to give life, a life of worship and praise as we lived out His plans for us. When life seems hard, as it has for me in recent days, we feel like we're falling apart at the seams. And then I'm reminded there's really only one thing that can hold us together. In Him, all things hold together. And it is through His cross that is revealed to me. We are each a creation of God, as the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Or again, Psalm 139, that's a favorite of so many Christians. David wrote, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Yes, in Jesus, all things hold together. When nothing makes sense, and we wonder how the pieces of our life will ever fit back together again, remember His cross, and remember that in Jesus, all things hold together. And when your heart is broken and there seems to be nothing to hold on to, remember, in Him, all things hold together. Colossians 1 goes on to tell us that through Jesus, God would reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That's a comfort for me this morning. That's been a comfort for us for the last 21 days in a more powerful way than Carolyn and I ever imagined, even though we have always striven to serve the Lord and to proclaim His word. It is an assurance in the midst of the most difficult times, when we are the weakest, that when we are weak, then He makes us strong. Remember, my friends, we are created for God's purpose. And though we are sinners, God still holds us together in relationship with Him by making peace with us through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. In Jesus, all things hold together. For the cross is God's fingerprint in our creation. It is His fingerprint in us, a sign that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen. May God's peace, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds firm in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.